Thessalonians chapter 2. Just waiting for the all clear. And I want to welcome those of you that are joining us right now on our live stream. We appreciate you tuning in and choosing to study the Word of God with us here this morning. Hopefully you will be edified and encouraged. It is a holiday weekend, and I know there's at least one Bible conference going on this weekend down in Ohio. In the past, we have been going to that meeting. We did not obviously attend this year. But it's good to be with you. It's good to be home, too, sometimes, you know, not to have anything to do. And I am happy that this Friday is my last day of school, which I'm relieved about, and then I'll have a break for a little while. And so I'm excited about that. This morning, my objective is to continue looking at issues related to the day of the Lord and the day of Christ and to move us forward in that. Last Sunday, we went through all the verses in the Old Testament that explicitly mentioned the day of the Lord. And we talked about two different views, two different options related to the day of the Lord and how to think about that and how to view that. And can I get the, can somebody help Andrew get the PowerPoint up on the screen for me, please? I'm going to be going back and forth between some things. I presented to you two views of the day of the Lord last week. And I want to just go over those with you here briefly at the beginning of this as we looked at different approaches and different understandings. One view of the day of the Lord says that all of the events that are listed here, all of the events listed on the screen, which would include the 70th week, the millennial kingdom, the great white throne, and the new heavens and the new earth are all part of the day of the Lord. And that is a slightly different view from the second one that says that only the kingdom, the great white throne, and the new heavens and the new earth are part of the day of the Lord. This view does not include the 70th week in the day of the Lord. And we talked about that last time. I went over with you a whole ton of verses as we talked about this. And I want to be talking about some of these things in a little bit more detail and try to be really explicitly clear about some of these points. But before we do that, I want to talk to you. You guys can temporarily take that down. I want to talk to you about just some of the takeaways. So last Sunday, we went through a bunch of verses in the Old Testament. We went through Isaiah, Ezekiel. We went through Joel. We went through Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, etc. We went through a whole bunch of verses talking about the day of the Lord and talking about how that works and what that looks like as we are trying to understand it, right? And here are the takeaways that we had. These were the major takeaways. I'm going to read them to you. And if you took notes on these already last Sunday, then great. If not, I want to repeat them. So this is the summary statements that we looked at. Number one, the day of the Lord is the day of destruction and vengeance from the Almighty. Okay, upon all the enemies of the Lord, the proud, the lofty, the haughty, the arrogant are brought low during the day of the Lord. This is the day when the Lord will arise to shake terribly the earth. Number two, the day of the Lord is described as being great and terrible and dreadful. It's a day of darkness, cloudiness, gloominess, fierce wrath, and anger when the sword of the Lord is brought upon the heathen. Number three, the day of the Lord is described as a day of battle in which the Lord commands his armies, not just on the earth, but also in heaven. In fact, we've seen now 2 weeks in a row that the sword of the Lord is depicted as being bathed in heaven first and then coming down upon the kings that be upon the earth. Number four, the day of the Lord's arrival to earth is preceded by cosmic disturbances in the sun, moon, and stars. Okay. And in addition, Elijah the prophet is sent before the coming of the great notable day of the Lord. Number five, the day of the Lord is when Christ will again stand upon the Mount of Olives. In this day, the Lord is going to be king over all the earth, and Israel will possess her possessions, and the Lord will enter into his rest. Number six, the day of the Lord is said to come as a thief in the night. And lastly, number seven, the day of the Lord, most importantly, is characterized by the presence of the Lord himself. It is the day when the Lord alone is exalted. Okay? So, get with me a couple passages, okay? First, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab Joel chapter 2. I want you to grab Joel chapter 2 in one hand and Malachi chapter 4 in the other. Joel chapter 2 in one hand and Malachi chapter 4 in the other. And what I want to do is I want to really be explicitly clear here about trying to map this out and lay this out. So I need Joel 2 in one hand and Malachi 4 in the other. Now, what I need to do right now is stop talking and find it myself. Joel chapter 2 and Malachi chapter 4. Now, if we could please, maybe I was too quick on that, if we could please have the tablet back, I want to go to the whiteboard here. So I'll be honest, I'm playing with some toys here, okay? The toys are fun to play with. Is that what you guys still have up? Hang on a minute. Bear with me. And of course, it's not going to work. What does that say? No, I don't want to keep the annotations. Just get rid of it. It's not going to work. Sorry. I really wanted to show you this, but I'm not going to. So let's go to Malachi chapter 4. So when we think about the timing of the day of the Lord, look at Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 is what I want you to be first. Notice verse 5. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." What's the next word? "Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So, according to that verse, is Elijah going to be sent before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord? So, if I can identify then when Elijah the prophet is sent, then I know that the day of the Lord cannot have come yet, because the verse says that he's going to send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the coming. Notice what it says. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So God is going to send Elijah before, during, or after the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord. Before, okay? So that is a very important issue then related to the timing of all of this, okay? Now go with me to Joel chapter 2. Go with me to Joel chapter 2 and look at verse 30. Joel chapter 2, verse 30. Notice what it says. "And I saw wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." Notice, before the great and terrible day of the Lord what? Come. So I know now there are two things that have to happen before the day of the Lord comes. Number one, does he have to send Elijah the prophet? Yes. Number two, is there going to be cosmic disturbances in the sun, moon, and stars that are going to happen before that day what? That day comes, okay? Now, I don't know if I was asking this thing to just do too much too fast, but I am going to make one more attempt because I want to draw this stuff out for you guys so that you can see what is going on. So let me make one more attempt because it's going to make this much more visual and easily understood. Can you? It's still up there, and it's not going to cooperate because I can't close that. So forget it. Go to Matthew 24. Go with me to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Last Sunday, we went through Matthew 24, and I showed you how this chapter takes you through the entire 70th week. It talks about the beginning of sorrows. Look at that with me, if you would. Look at verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, verse 8 said, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Does he talk to them about the beginning of what to expect? The beginning of sorrows. Then in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. We spent a lot of time about this last Sunday. The abomination of desolation happens, according to Daniel chapter 9, in the middle of what? In the middle of the 70th week, right? According to Daniel chapter 9. And then if you come with me all the way over to Matthew 24 and look with me at verse 27. Look with me at verse 27. It says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now, according to Joel chapter 2, the sun, moon, and stars, the cosmic disturbance in the sun, moon, and stars has to happen before the great and notable day of the Lord does what? Comes, right? But here in Matthew 23, Jesus Christ, out of his own mouth, says, when does the cosmic disturbance occur? It occurs immediately after the tribulation of what? Those days. So if you put the pieces together, okay, if Elijah the prophet has to be sent before the great notable day of the Lord come, and Elijah the prophet is one of the two witnesses in the first half of the tribulation, then I know that the first half of the tribulation is not technically on earth the day of what? The day of the Lord. Because Elijah has to come before the great notable day of the Lord come, right? Joel chapter 2 verses 30 and following says that there'll be cosmic disturbances in the sun and the moon, and that it happens before the great and notable day of the Lord does what? Comes, right? And now Jesus Christ says that that will happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. So here's what I want you to see, but I'm frustrated because my stuff's not working correctly. I wanted to draw this out for you, but if you look over here at the chart on the wall, the 70th week of Daniel, the wrath, the period of wrath there after the rapture on the chart, that is not technically the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes to earth after that is over. Because Elijah the prophet is going to be sent before the day of the Lord comes, and the cosmic disturbance in the sun, moon, and stars are going to happen before the day of the Lord comes. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells you in Matthew 24 that that happens immediately after the tribulation of those days, and then they'll see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven coming with power and great glory, right? So I know then, if the day of the Lord is the presence of the Lord, and there are things that have to happen before the day of the Lord comes, then is the day of the Lord on earth during the 70th week of Daniel? The answer is what? No. Now, understand, is there a difference between when the day comes and when it begins? We have seen for 2 weeks in a row that the day of the Lord includes war in heaven. The sword of the Lord is bathed in heaven first, and it comes down upon Edomia, right? He talks about punishing the hosts of the high ones that are on high and the kings that be upon the earth. So here's, I wish I could draw it, but I can't. In the middle of the tribulation, in heaven, is there war between Michael and his angels? Yes. That begins the prophetic day of the Lord. The day of the Lord begins in heaven in the middle of the 70th week. Michael and his angels fight against the dragon. The dragon fights and his angels, and they are kicked out of heaven, and they are sent down to the earth. And they are sent down to the earth knowing they, with having great wrath, knowing that they have but a short time. Remember that? After the final 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year period of wrath, after that, immediately following the tribulation of those days, Will there be cosmic disturbance in the sun, moon, and stars immediately preceding the coming of the coming of who back to earth? The Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of the Lord includes multiple events that begin in heaven, that come to earth at the second coming, and that extend then all the way out through the new heavens and the new earth, like on that second diagram I had up there a moment ago. Now, what does all of this then have to do with the day of Christ? Well, and I'm really, you can't see it right now, but internally I'm really irritated right now. Because I wanted to illustrate this for you while I explained it, so that you would see very graphically and vividly what I was talking about. But my technology is not cooperating, so I'm going to move on before I destroy it, okay? But here's what I want you to see. Before the day of the Lord come, do two things have to happen. Elijah the prophet has to be sent. And does there have to be cosmic disturbance in heaven, in the heavens? Did the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 just identify for you when the cosmic disturbance occurs? It happens immediately following the tribulation of what? Those days. And when it happens, do men look up into heaven and see the sign of the Son of Man coming? Okay? So we need to make a distinction then, guys, between when a day begins and when it comes. The day of the Lord begins in heaven before it comes where? To earth. Okay? The day of the Lord is a multifaceted event. It includes the war in heaven, the expelling of Michael and his angels. It includes the cosmic disturbance. It includes the Lord's bodily return back to earth. It includes the battle of Armageddon. It includes the establishment of the millennial kingdom. It includes the great white throne judgment. And does it include the new heavens and the new earth? All of that, all of those things fit into the category that we identified last week of the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day. The day of the Lord is an elongated period of time that includes many prophetic events as they relate to the nation of Israel. It begins in heaven halfway through the tribulation, and then it comes to earth at the end of the tribulation, and then it extends all the way out, including the new heavens and the new earth. Now, all of that pertains to the nation of Israel. None of that includes who? Us. We, as members of the church, the body of Christ, we are not part of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that day will not overtake them as a what? As a thief, right? Because we are members of the church, the body of Christ, and the day that pertains to us is the day of Christ. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we ran these verses a while ago, in the first study. I want to look at a few of them again to just establish our bearings, right? Now, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I also want you to get Ephesians chapter 4. Also get Ephesians chapter 4. We were talking about this in adult Sunday school, all right? If you are saved today, if you've trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ as the only payment for your sin, do you have God the Holy Spirit as the seal, as the earnest of your inheritance? Okay? You do, right? Now notice what, now let me ask you a different question. Will the Holy Spirit, it's kind of a trick question, will the Holy Spirit always be your seal? Well, Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are what? Sealed. What's the next word? Unto the day of what? So is there a day coming that the scriptures call, that Paul calls the day of redemption? As long as you are here on planet earth, and the day of redemption hasn't occurred yet, is the Holy Spirit going to remain your seal until that day occurs? All right. If you die before the day occurs, are you still sealed into the body of Christ by God the Holy Spirit? Right. But is there coming a day where our faith that we have right now will be made sight? Okay. So one of the phrases that Paul uses is the day of redemption. Now, let me ask you a question. When he talks about the day of redemption, what is he talking about? What is he talking about as far as being redeemed? Are you already spiritually redeemed? Yes, you are. Are you physically redeemed yet? No, you are not. Are you still in a body? Go over to Romans 8. I know we've got a lot of flipping around. But are you still in a body of earth, a body of flesh, an earthen vessel until the day of redemption? And the Holy Spirit is the down payment on that. Romans 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, here it is, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of the what? Has your soul and spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection already been redeemed? Yes. Are you given the Holy Spirit as the earnest of your inheritance until the day of redemption? Okay? The adoption to it, the redemption of your body. So is there a day in the future as a member of the body of Christ that you can look forward to where your body is going to be what? Redeemed. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope which is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience do what? So understand, as long as you are in this earth suit, this earthen vessel, are you going to have aches and pains and warts and bunions? Yeah, and if you're here long enough before the Lord returns to catch us away, are you going to die physically? Will you ever be outside of Christ, though, if you're a believer? No, because you have the Holy Spirit as the seal unto when? The day of redemption. But there is a day where your body will be redeemed. Now, let me ask you a question. When do you think that is? When do you think the day of redemption is? Like next week? The day of the Lord? The millennial kingdom? Where is the day of redemption for us? The day of redemption for us is at the catching away of what? The saints. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Will we receive a body fashioned like after the glorious resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. Do you think that might have something to do with 1 Thessalonians 4 that we already studied, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with who? If you go up about 2 miles from where we're sitting right now without special equipment, can you live? No. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? So every member of the body of Christ is not going to die before the end of the dispensation of grace. Okay? Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? So is every member of the body of Christ is not going to die before the end of the dispensation of grace. But will every member of the body of Christ be changed? Yes. Verse 51, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So will you one day be redeemed from this body of flesh? And the day where that will happen is what Paul calls the day of redemption in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. But there are other names for it. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. That you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 7 is related to the day of who? The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8. is the Lord going to come for the church and catch the church away unto himself? Yes. Come with me to, let's see here. Note the similarity, by the way, between 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 15, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The saint that waits for the coming of our Lord Jesus there in verse 7 and 8 is confirmed unto the end that he may be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays that the Thessalonians be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go look at that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy. They're not, that's your entire being, holy, not H-O-L-Y, holy like, oh, I'm holy, but holy like, totally, okay? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I think I might have cleared the decks here. So I am going to make one more pass at this, Mark, to try to get this whiteboard working. And I got to plug it back in now. Come on, hold your hand. Everyone say a prayer. Everyone beseech the Lord for his grace. Is it going to work? Is that on my end? It's my tablet, eh, Mark? okay, we want to duplicate these displays. Keep changes. Get rid of that. Open this. And we're in business. All right, so here is us right now. That's us. You like that? See, you're going to get excited. I know you are. Okay. Now, is there a day coming when the Lord is going to catch us away to meet him in the air? What day? What is it? What do we call that? That's the rapture. That's the day of Christ. That is the day of redemption. Okay. That is the day of Christ, okay? Now, while we are in the air, are things going to be happening down here on earth? So I'm going to draw this like this. This is the 70th week. This is the period of the 70th week. Now, we know that before the day of the Lord come, who does God have to send? Malachi chapter 4. Elijah the prophet has to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. We also know that before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, there has to be disturbances in the sun, the moon, and what? Stars. We know from Jesus Christ's testimony in Matthew chapter 24 that the cosmic disturbance happened immediately following the tribulation of those days, and they're going to look and they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he's going to come back to what? Back to earth, right? So right here, the day of Christ is a day for us that we are caught up to meet together, to meet the Lord where? In the air, right? Over here, we have the second coming and the Lord coming back to earth. Then we have the thousand-year kingdom. Then we have the great white throne. And we have the new heavens and the new what? Earth. So there's my scratching. I've never done this before, so I'm getting used to it, all right? Now, before the day of the Lord comes here at the second coming, so we know that this time period down here is not technically the day of the Lord, right? This time period down here would be the day of the adversary. Who is being exalted on earth during this time period? Not God, the adversary is. It is his time, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So in the middle of this, The day of the Lord commences in the heavens. Satan and his angels are sent down to earth. They know that they have but a short time. And then after 3.5 years, does the Lord return back to earth here at the second coming? So the day of the Lord starts here in heaven, and it comes to earth here, and then extends out into the future. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, who is in the heavenly places? We are the church, the body of Christ. We are caught up at the day of redemption, the rapture, the day of Christ, and from there on, where are we going to be? We are going to be up here in the heavenly places. My wife's laughing at my handwriting, probably. We're going to be up here in the heavenly places, right? And so the day of Christ, now let me ask you a different question. Does the day of the Lord include multiple events for the nation of Israel? Well, guess what? Does the day of Christ include multiple events for us as members of the church, the body of Christ? Okay? So what kind of things would be included in the day of Christ? Okay? Well, the day of Christ includes, number one, the catching up of the church, the rapture of the church. Now, after we're in the heavens, what event would happen for us next? The JSC, the judgment seat of what? Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, the body of Christ is judged by Jesus Christ. Before I get ahead of myself, we have the rapture, we have the day of redemption. Here, are you fitted with a heavenly body? So that you are fit now to dwell where? In the heavenly places. Once you are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, once you experience the rapture, once you experience the day of redemption and you are fitted with a heavenly body, then you go to the judgment seat of Christ. And when you go to the judgment seat of Christ, your works are tried, etc., as a member of the church, the body of Christ. And as a result of the judgment of the body of Christ, there will be what? Reward given to the body of Christ in the heavenly places. Okay? And all of this is happening where? On earth or in heaven? In the middle of this time frame going on down here, there's going to be war in heaven. Michael and his angels fight against the dragon. They're kicked out there. And then 3.5 years later, does the Lord Jesus Christ lead an army back to earth? Okay? Now come with me back to 2 Thessalonians. Now, besides my bad handwriting, I think that's pretty cool. I'll get better, I promise. I'll practice. Where'd I tell you to go? Chapter 1. Now, when we think about the day of the Lord, can the day of the Lord begin before the day of the Lord what? Come. Can the day of Christ begin before the day of Christ what? Comes. You following that? So, at some point, hopefully in the near future, it'd be great if it was today, before I finish this sermon, right? Will the Lord appear to catch away the church unto himself? When that happens, will you put on a redeemed body? Okay? You will be changed. This mortal will put on what? Immortality, and will be changed, right? And then from there, you'll have a body like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there, the body of Christ is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. While all that is happening in the heavens, are things happening down here on the earth. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, which is talking here about persecution. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which ye endure. Are the Thessalonians experiencing persecution and tribulation? Yes. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation on them that trouble you. Now, is God fixing to recompense to these people that are persecuting the body of Christ? Are they going to receive tribulation and retribution for what they're doing? Is that what the verse says? So the people that are persecuting and causing the Thessalonians tribulation, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So they're suffering, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Is God going to deal with the enemies of the body of Christ? Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he going to come and judge? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. All right? When he shall be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Watch verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the entire context of chapter 1 is talking about when the Lord is going to recompense judgment upon those who are persecuting who? The Thessalonians. Okay, now let me ask you another question. When does that happen? Is that happening now? Is that happening today during the dispensation of grace? No, because God has withheld his wrath, right? But is there a day coming in the future where God is going to deal with the world in his wrath, in his fury, in his judgment? The answer is what? Yes, and what we learn in 2 Thessalonians is that when God does that, he is not only going to deal with the enemies of the nation of Israel on earth, he is also going to deal with the enemies of the body of Christ. Folks, I just have to say it this way, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but if this dispensation goes on long enough, I can foresee very clearly a day and a time where the church, the body of Christ, is going to be under heavy tribulation. Okay? What I take comfort from here is that God has that in his control. He already knows about it. And does he have a plan for dealing with those people? So vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is who? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord in the book of Romans, right? I will repay, God says. Does God have, God will settle all the scores that need to be settled. It is not my job. It is not your job. It is not our job to deal with that, because does God have that covered? Okay, so with the context of chapter 1 being judgment and recompense upon the enemies of the body of Christ, upon those who are persecuting the Thessalonians, now we come to chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto who? What event is that? That is this event right here. Where we are caught up to meet the Lord, where? In the air. So is he going to beseech them on the basis of this? Okay? That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is what? At hand. Now this is where everybody gets all confused. They want to change it to the day of the Lord. I already showed you in the first study, it's Christus in Greek. It's Christ. Christ is the correct translation, that the day of Christ is what? Now, he beseeched them on the basis of what? This, the catching right here, that these things right in here, that they don't need to be shaken or troubled, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day is that? For that day shall not what? Come. Shall not come except there come a what? So listen, what he's talking about there, the day of Christ started over here. It's been going on all this time period with the day of redemption. You got your heavenly body. You got tried at the judgment seat of Christ. You received your inheritance. All that stuff has been happening where? In the heavenly places. What he's talking about is this thing doing what? Coming to earth. Notice it carefully. Neither by word, verse 2, neither by word nor by spirit or letter as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Except, but come a what? Well, has that day already started in heaven? The day of Christ has already started in heaven. What he's talking about here is when it comes to earth. And when it comes to earth, is that when he's going to punish the enemies of the body of Christ? Listen, folks, think with me about this, right? If the rapture happens here, how long is the 70th week? 7 years. Now, we don't know how long this gap of time is right here between when we're caught up and when the treaty is signed starting the 70th week, but you know that it's going to be 7 years. Are there going to be people alive still on earth during this time period that take the mark of the beast, that survive, that were alive when we, the body of Christ, were on earth, that are going to be punished over here? So what he's talking about here is the day of Christ coming to earth and the day of Christ coming to the earth in the form of him judging the enemies of who? The body of Christ. How do I know that? Because the previous chapter was all about that. So this day is, the day of Christ is not going to come to earth until there be what? A falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of what? Now had somebody written them false letters, had somebody shaken them in their mind and their understanding that that day had already what? Come. And he's telling them, he's beseeching them in verse 1 on the basis of our gathering together unto him that they don't need to worry about that. So folks, here's what happens. And I wish I had other colors here, but here's what happens. At the second coming, the day of Christ that has been going on in the heavens, does it merge with the day of the Lord? And right here on earth at this moment, does God deal with all of his enemies? Imagine, you ever been driving on the highway and two highways merge together and keep going? And then one highway ends and the other one keeps going? That's what's going on here. That is what is going on here. And what he's telling them is, here's how you can know that that day hasn't come yet. The way you know it hasn't come yet is there has to be, number one, a falling, let me get it right here. The number one has to be a falling away first. And the man of sin be what? Revealed, the son of perdition. Changing the day of Christ here to the day of the Lord hides from view the richness of what Paul is talking to them about here. He's saying they don't need to worry about this day coming to earth over here because they're promised a gathering together unto him where? There. And before this thing comes to earth here, there have to be things that happen here. A falling what? Away, and the man of sin be what? Revealed. So what we see, let me ask you another question. When Christ hung on the cross, according to everything that God had made known up to that time, was he dying to pay for the sins of the nation of Israel? Yes. Was the revelation of the mystery made known? No. Do we now know, through the revelation committed to the Apostle Paul, that not only was he dying there for the sins of the nation of Israel, but he was dying there for the sins of the entire world without distinction, so that God Almighty in this dispensation could form the body of Christ? So my point is this. Are there definitive moments in time in the outworking of God's plan? You can throw that back up there. Are there definitive points in time in the outworking of God's plan where God is accomplishing a twofold purpose? A purpose that pertains to Israel and his program in the earth, and a purpose that pertains to the body of Christ and his program in the heavens. Mark shaking his head, yes, that's the right answer. The same thing is happening here when the day of Christ what? Comes. You have a convergence of both programs at the second coming, where the Lord comes to decisively destroy all of his enemies, the enemies of the body of Christ as well as the enemies of the nation of Israel. And once he settles the score with the enemies of the body of Christ, the day of Christ is over, but the day of the Lord continues to include the millennium, the great white throne, the new heavens and the new earth, all the things that prophecy said were included within the day of what? The Lord. Look, guys, I hope this is making sense to you. I'm trying to understand it. I know I can't write very well, but hopefully the diagram helps you understand what's going on here. Okay? Our rapture is here. It is pre-trib. It is pre-wrath. It is pre-70th week. It is pre-prophecy. We are caught away. We are in the heavenly places, in the heavenly body. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. We receive our inheritance. Halfway through the tribulation on earth, there's war in heaven. The day of the Lord begins in heaven. And then over here, after 3.5 years, the day of the Lord comes to earth. When the day of the Lord comes to earth, there's a convergence. Christ, the one who is the preeminent one in heaven and earth, he comes in a definitive moment in time here to destroy all of his what? Enemies. And somebody, the Thessalonians, had allowed themselves to be troubled, to be shaken. Somebody had convinced them by false letters, by false teaching, that they were out over here. That they were out over here. And he's saying, the way you know that you're not over here is because this needs to what? Happen over here. Now look, folks, there's an element in this that, you know, I'm feeling inadequate to fully explain, but I hope that you're getting it. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come. See, people think that when it says come, that's when it begins. That's not when it begins. That's when it what? That's when it comes. It started over 7 years before that when he caught the church away unto himself. Just like the day of the Lord, come begins in heaven before it what? Comes. The day of the Lord is a multifaceted event as it relates to the nation of Israel, and the day of Christ is a multifaceted event that relates to the body of Christ. What he's talking about here, think about the argument, verse, all of chapter 1 is about him judging the enemies of the body of Christ, and then he says, I beseech you, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto who? He's beseeching them on the basis of this, A, not to worry about what? B, you don't need to worry. I'm beseeching you on the basis of A, our gathering together unto him, that you don't need to worry about B, because A is getting you out of B. You following that? Verse 4, now we beseech you, brethren, by the gathering, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. But the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you. See, there's the key. They were being deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. Any means would be spirit, word, letter in the previous verse. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. So before that day comes to earth over here, are there some things that have to happen prophetically before that occurs? I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the day of Christ coming where? To earth. It comes to earth over here. Before it comes to earth, does there need to be a falling away and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition? Read the next verse. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. When does that happen? That happens right there, halfway through the tribulation, at the abomination of what? Desolation that Daniel said happened in the midst of what? The week. This isn't going to come. They don't need to worry about this coming. He beseeches them not to worry about this, not to be shaken about this, on the basis of their gathering together unto him. Folks, listen to me. I don't care how bad things get. We are not appointed to wrath. This is not, you know, just a lot of people say, well, you know, you pre-trib rapture people, you just want to get out of things. When else in the program of God has God ever taken people out of suffering? You presumptuous pre-tribulation rapture people. Listen, we are out of here because the wrath, the 70th week, is not appointed on the body of Christ. The body of Christ was a secret. We were a mystery. We were not made known. We were not disclosed. You can't go back and search us out. God had us in His mind and in His heart from before the world began and didn't tell anybody about it until He revealed it to Paul. We are not appointed to wrath. We will be out of dodge. That doesn't mean, though, that it's not going to get bad before it happens. But you know what? You can take comfort in the fact that no matter how bad it gets, you have the promise of God Almighty in His Word through our Apostle Paul that we will be taken out of here before God reinstitutes His prophetic program with the nation of Israel. I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to me. And in the meantime, you have God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help you get through. And the fellowship and the comfort of the saints. So, there's one more sermon I want to do on this, and I want to expound on the rest of the stuff here in 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll do that next week. I understand that there could be, and this is deep stuff that we're plowing through here right now. Okay? I understand if there's an element here where you're like, I don't know, or I'm not sure, I've never heard that before. That's fine. I just ask that you just don't dismiss it because it's new, but that you think about it and give it some thought and study. Be a Berean, study it yourself, check it out. If you want some help, get one of these, the Day of the Lord Project booklets that walks through it. Now, if you are familiar with this, I have not taught this in the order that it was in here. I've been doing it different this time because I didn't want to just do what I did last time. But the doctrine is still what? The same. I beseech you on the basis of A that you don't need to worry about B. Because before B comes, these two things have to what? We don't need to worry about B because we're going to take part in A. When B comes, you're already going to be out of here. This is how you know you're not going to be a part of B. Because you're a part of what? A. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for Your Word. Grateful that we finally got this thing to work a little bit. And appreciate that. And I'm grateful for these saints that have gathered here to hear Your Word preached. Lord, we are grateful for those who have died and sacrificed for our freedoms here in this country. That we can stand here this morning and openly teach and preach from the Word of God. It's a great freedom that we have in this country. We pray that we will be able to keep that as long as possible. And that while we have it, we would not squander it. We would not take advantage of it. But that we would use it to make known the truth, to preach the gospel, to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, we're grateful for all that You've done for us through Christ. We're grateful for those who have made it out here on this holiday weekend. We pray they'll be blessed and edified for having done so. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.